Hello, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And tonight, we bring you the Skulls Cast, episode 34, Diablo 3.
4, 3.
3, 30, lots of Diablos.
Lots of, you know, devils?
Indeed. I always thought that this must be the strangest thing for someone who speaks Spanish to pick up or whatever. Or if that's their native language, they just see this box that says Devil 3 on it. And you're like, man, Americans are weird.
Games have dumber names than just Devil. If there was a game called Devil, I'd probably just feel neutral about it at that point. Mm. You're like, okay, Devil game. What you got?
I would feel pretty good about it, though. And then, you know, when I inevitably discover that it's horrible, then I would disassociate myself from it and be like, oh, well, had a cool name, good idea, whatever. Guess you're done now. But yeah, Diablo 3, recent game. Medibot, you play games, but I really don't. And I think that's...
Wait, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, the games I play came out, like, a decade ago or more.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I don't hit that many new games myself. I guess I'm still a little ahead of you, but you know, I'm hardly, you know, consuming
all
that.
No, you're a lot ahead of me, dude.
Okay, so I'm a lot ahead of you, but we did both get Diablo 3.
We did. And...
pretty close to when it came out.
Yeah. I had to wait a week because of other things, and
yeah,
I kind of wanted to, like, cool my heels about it. I actually wanted to learn more about the game before I started playing it, but it didn't have the same resources as Diablo 2 did. Diablo 2 had what was called the Ariat Summit, and it was an encyclopedia of knowledge about Diablo 2, and you could go there and learn anything you wanted, including the names of random magic modifications and what values they had and what levels of item they could possibly appear on. So you could use that to gauge, like, how good an item that you find is compared to what is possible. But I didn't have that with this.
Yeah, I just sort of had to dive in. And...
yeah, everything was streamlined. Everything. It's like you... They take this approach where you cannot go wrong.
You cannot make a bad decision that is not undoable in regards to your skill set.
Yeah, that's one part of the streamlining. I'm sure that the game offers plenty of terrible decisions to make if you really, really want.
It was all your equipment. You can make plenty of bad decisions there.
Yeah, equipment.
I
guess we should go back a step if we're really going to...
What is Diablo 3,
What
Kaz?
Is Diablo 3? Diablo 3 is an action RPG in the Western style, which means you run around and in real time hit things with attacks. The camera is overhead and focused on you at all times, so you're always the center of the screen, and you... kill lots and lots and lots and lots of monsters and get their treasure.
Yeah.
In the form of just generic game money called gold or items.
Got stuff.
The items are colored according to how powerfully magical they are. If they are gray, then they're just junk. They are a... worse version of whatever item it is. So if you find something just called sword, you could find a sword that is gray, and it would be called something like bent sword or cracked sword, something like that.
Improperly tested sword.
Inferior item. And it's just... And that's inferior in just
sword.
A raw numbers sense. And white items are just regular. That would be your sword. Blue items are magical. They have up to 2 magical mods. some of the magical mods that they have confer multiple individual bonuses, but in general, your blue item is going to have one or two magic properties, which, you know, it depends on the item. It does lots of stuff. They've pretty fully, well, I won't say they've fully explored the design space they have possible in items, but they do have a lot of the stuff you'd expect to have. You know, it's just a more damage on your sword, it boosts one of your numbers, it gives you a number that you didn't have before, it, and that's in things like dodge chance. Very rarely it's stuff that modifies a specific skill for a specific class, gives you life back on hit, it modifies the property of little health globes that you pick up, it gives you more critical hit damage, or more critical hit chance. Lots and lots and lots of things. And they're randomly generated, too. That's another big deal about the Diablo franchise and the dungeon-crawling genre that it draws upon, is that all of these magical items are made up on the spot, and they draw from tables of mods that could possibly happen, and just sort of pick two. You know, you get two random mods, there you go, and that is magic. Then there is yellow, which is rare items.
You don't cook them very long.
No. And those are like magic items, but they have four properties instead of two. So they're better on average. You know, you could get four properties that are all completely terrible and two that are really good and useful for you, and the magic item would be just be way, way better. But on average, they, you know, four is greater than two, so there you go. And then they have legendary and set items. Most legendary and set items have a certain number of fixed mods, and then an additional, like, 1 to 3 random mods on top of it. So, you know, it'll have, like, this helmet of Zoltan Kuhl or whatever. He's, like, got his own set, maybe. And it's the helmet of Zoltan Kuhl, so it always adds between 10 and 15 to intelligence and 2 to vitality. But then it'll have, like, 3 random other things that it does. And I'm just making that up.
Yeah.
There's no such item. But that's how legendary and set items work. Set items are green. Legendary items are brown. It looks brown. I think it's supposed to be, like, bronze or gold or something, but it's brown. So that's what legendary looks like. The difference is that when you accumulate more items in a set, more bonuses unlock from the set. So if you have Zoltan Kuhl's helmet and his watch fob, then that's 2 items of the set, so you get the 2 set item bonus, which is plus 50 critical damage or whatever. Right, and if you complete the set, then you get the full set bonus, and it's neat. And it's generally more powerful when you have all together a set. Like, they're worth more than the sum of their individual parts if you just made up those parts from random other stuff. And legendary. Yeah, that's all the different classes of item that you can get. I am going on a long time about items, and that's probably what you'll spend the most of your time playing Diablo 3 doing, if you do indeed decide to play. Because the game is, as Diablo 2 was before it, and I would have to check with someone about ye olde original Diablo, the game is about shopping.
Shopping, accessorizing, showing off your fabulous new shoes to all your friends.
Yes. Yes. If you like shopping, you will like Diablo. It might not happen immediately, because at first, you know, you're running around and killing monsters, and that's what you think the game is about, because it happens the most early on. But over time, you'll spend less and less of your time actually killing monsters, and more of your time trying to obtain the next unobtainable treasure, and going on the auction house to purchase things and then put them in your stash, and you'll spend money to get a bigger closet called a stash. There's just so many... It just tickles me to death that such a game could be truly about shopping. And every time I talk to like a hardcore Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 player about it, they're like, what are you talking about? No. It's about the builds. It's about the fighting. And I'm like, you're deluding yourself. There are like a couple people who play the ladder in Diablo 2, and for them it's about steadily accumulating experience or whatever, but nah. Try to deny it. You're only denying what you like about it, you know, yourself, that's shopping. But breaking away from that a little bit, we have five classes.
Yeah, you make your hero or heroine, and you pick a class for them.
Hmm. And that's new, by the way. I'm gonna do a point by point as we go along from D2 to D3, because I played a heck of a lot of D2. And I enjoyed and still enjoy it. But yeah, being able to be a boy or a girl of any of the five classes is novel. That's new to Diablo. Doug, I interrupted you in telling us about the classes. You can go on.
Oh, yeah. So you got your five classes, and they all do their own little wacky set of stuff and have their own, you know, completely separate skill sets from one another. Five classes are these. Number one, you've got your barbarian. Barbarian is huge and tough and huge and punches things and gets in there. And the stat the barbarian cares about is strength and the skills. You know, they're mostly... Like, I haven't actually played a barbarian, so...
Yeah, I've played a barbarian a little bit, and, yeah, I mean, the skills are about hitting things up close and getting better at hitting things up close. And there's lots of variation within there. Like, you have the one ability that lets you, like, throw out a chain and reel enemies in, and that's really neat. There's some that let you, like, bash and stun or knock them back or bring them towards you a little bit or make like a big hammer that makes a shockwave or summon like guys who also hit things, and that's really what it's about. The resource that the barbarian manages, and this is also new to Diablo 3, each class has its own resource as opposed to everybody having mana. Only the witch doctor still has mana. Everybody else has something else. Barbarians get fury, which, unlike other resources, does not regenerate and, in fact, degenerates over time. You accumulate it by dealing and receiving damage.
So you want to be getting in there, dealing hits, taking hits, and then you'll be able to use your fancy things to give you the edge in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's your game plan. More or less. Anything else about the barbarian for now?
No, I think that's all I can really say about the barbarian.
Like for these classes, we're going to be giving a very, very general sort of overview. We're not getting
we're
into
not
their
like,
builds.
Yeah, we're
at
not
all.
Telling you like builds.
All
right,
like
I
you know,
actually don't
each,
know any.
Every class has a bunch of skills associated with it, and as you level up, you get more skills, and you get variations on those skills, and you can have six skills equipped. But we're not going to be getting into the details of what those skills are too much. So you have your barbarian. Next up, you have the demon hunter, who is a class that uses primarily ranged weaponry, bows and crossbows, that sort of business. The demon hunter cares about dexterity. And you're fighting at range with these ranged weapons. And I think they have two resources?
They do. The demon hunter's resource is split between discipline and hatred. Discipline is a very slow regenerating resource, and hatred is a more quickly regenerating one. And you have ways of exchanging between the two. Generally speaking, hatred is for things that are direct attacks, and discipline is things that are for tactical maneuvers and traps. So you, every demon hunter uses both of these. It's not like you can be a hatred demon hunter or a discipline demon hunter. No, it's just you have both of these as your resource pool, and you use both, and the interplay of both is how you build encounters and situations. A demon hunter really, really wants to stay at range. They're rather flimsy, and enemies will crush you. But you can stay far enough away that they never get to you, and that's like being a tank. Not getting hit is a way to live.
It's not quite being a tank, but it is a way to live. It is a game plan. You don't need to be a tank, but you need a game plan. And you die before you get within 20 feet of me is a game plan.
So who's up next?
Next up is the monk. And the monk can use a bunch of different weapons, but also has special, like, fist-type weapons, because this is your, standard, at this point, standard fantasy monk who is all about the punching and the kicking and the martial arts. And their resource is spirit. And if I remember correctly, the way spirit works is you have moves that build spirit and moves that cost spirit.
Yes. Any regular attack will generate spirit. Spirit is a neutral resource. It neither accumulates or degenerates on its own. But you have moves that will give you more spirit, and then you have some items and other passive abilities that will just gradually regenerate spirit. So you can kind of turn yourself into a mana user in that sense. The key difference between the barbarian and the monk, aside from like strength instead of dexterity kind of thing, and the monk has dexterity as their primary, is that spirit and spirit abilities tend to give you options for healing yourself. Like, there are a lot of ways to turn spirit into health again, both on items and within abilities. So the game plan of the monk is to, dodge as much as you can, but also take damage and use your spirit to get your health back. And that takes you a lot of the way through the game that way. I've played the monk the most. I have a level 60. I have max level monk at this point. And it offers a lot of stuff, mostly about punching.
Various punching foot punching techniques.
I think that's the part that I like the most is the punching. They actually fixed a couple of the animations with the recent patch. Like, okay, so I was carrying around a staff, and to do my basic attack, the monk would put her staff away and then, like, punch with her fists.
Oh, yeah.
And then, they fixed
the stick
that
around for her.
Yeah, they fixed that so that part of the animation is swinging the staff at enemies and using that as the weapon. I thought that was really weird that, whatever. That's not super important either way, but that's pretty much what the monk is about. Another close-up tanky fighter.
Next, you have the Witch Doctor. You've played a Witch Doctor, right?
I have played a Witch Doctor.
Okay, and I'll let you handle it.
Oh, well, the Witch Doctor has mana. He is the only one who does, and it's a pretty quick regenerating resource, second only to Arcane Power and the Wizard. The Witch Doctor has intelligence as his primary attribute and can summon a little team and have his team of, like, zombie dogs and big zombies and spiders and sometimes snakes and bats and stuff. His skills are split between the corporeal and the ethereal, and there are some abilities that, like, modify or behave that way. And your basic game plan is to spend as much of your mana as much of the time as you can and get as much crap going on the screen as you can. You know, between the zombie dogs, the fetishes, the big zombie, and the spiders, you have this just huge mass of stuff. And you don't really want to get yourself, because you're just some, you know, you're just a little guy, and generally enemies will crush you. And so you kind of want to play keep away, but you kind of also need to be close enough so that your minions don't get stupid. So there's a lot that the Witch Doctor can do. I mean, that's just like plan A, you know? You don't have to use the zombie dogs or the spiders or the big zombie. There's other stuff that you can do. Mostly having to do with, like, right, toads. There's toads.
Boars.
Also the toad of hugeness.
I think they were boars or perhaps bears.
I haven't gotten to the boars or bears.
Some kind of animal that begins with B. Are there bees? Can you have bees?
There might be bees. I would not put it past the Witch Doctor at all. I mean, I'm kind of the bee because I have a blow dart.
Yeah, basically you're playing as a magical zookeeper. And this is twice as good as it sounds.
It's hard to understand, but a heck of a lot of fun to do. So, he is also the most sagely person when he's talking with anyone.
It's wonderful. A doctor.
I mean,
or she's a doctor.
Some of the heroes are between like dense and just sort of like war happy, bloodthirsty, angsty, haughty.
Yeah, haughty. All haughty all the time. None of that other crap.
And you can tell us about the last class.
Our last class is the wizard. Behold, the wizard. The wizard's resource is arcane power, which regenerates kind of stupidly fast. But you don't get a lot of it. The amount of arcane power you have, you know, starts out pretty low and never really gets big, but you can do a lot of things to make it regenerate faster, and the wizard uses arcane power for a lot of his spells. Or her spells. And these spells can do a whole bunch of different stuff, because you're a wizard, and since you do Wave's Hand magic, that means there are no rules about what you can and can't do, because it's Wave's Hand magic. Now, of course, this isn't, you know, a freeform pen and paper RPG where you can just whine to your DM until you get something. You do still have a discretized skill set, but it's pretty varied. A lot of your stuff is long-range, projectile-y type stuff, but there's a lot of different flavors of long-range, projectile-y type stuff with different ways of moving, you know, fast, slow, straight, wavy, homing, not homing. You can also just dump area attacks down that are generally you're not just doing damage. You're generally doing damage and. You're like, damage and you're slowed. Damage and, your defense goes down. Damage and, it sets up a trap that makes other things take more damage. But it isn't just hitting harder. And there are also a lot of skills that you have that sort of function like passive abilities. There are skills that give you different types of armor, or let you summon a little familiar, or to do things when you do things. And again, you know, as you get the skill variants called runes unlocked, some of your skills change very dramatically. The wizard is also extremely squishy, and if you do not stay very far away from your enemies, you will die and go to wizard hell, which is a real place. It's not like
between the two character classes for whom intelligence is a primary attribute, between wizard and witch doctor, they change it up mostly in how direct everything the wizard does is.
Yeah.
The wizard shoots a beam.
Yeah, the wizard can click on a guy and he gets hit by a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Would you look at that?
lightning bolt at you, beam Zap! This way, throw a ball of energy in that direction, and it goes. Whereas the Witch Doctor will have generally more powerful stuff, but it's harder to hit with. You know, where you shoot a beam, I shoot a bunch of toads, and wherever they decide to go is up to them a lot of the time.
You're very strong, but not always very focused toads. They get distracted easily.
There's very, very little that the Witch Doctor has that is directed or focused on something, and almost everything the wizard has is very, very straight and direct.
Yes. You know, it's either, like, this spell makes me better, or this spell makes you worse, with, you know, only a couple exceptions. You know, and even those exceptions are just, like, they're more indirect tactics, like the Hydra. That's about as indirect as the wizard really gets.
Whereas the Witch Doctor can get a passive ability that when he kills something or one of his minions does, the corpse might explode into a zombie dog if it's within a certain radius of him that can be improved by your health and gold pickup radius amount, and then use another skill on that zombie dog to make it explode. Just think about that chain of events for a minute.
Medicine is hard. I'm sticking with magic.
It is. And it makes me want to like go back and go level my Witch Doctor some more just to see the greater variety of what was going on.
I play a wizard, and I love it.
I stopped at the point where I got the like fetish army skill, and I'm like, yes, finally, an army. Because I wanted to be a necromancer again.
Yeah.
So, it didn't work the way I wanted. Like, I wanted to just have an army of dudes and they would follow me around, right? But it's not that. It's, you cast this and a bunch of dudes appear in an area for a very brief amount of time.
Uh-oh.
It's something like 30 seconds. And you can, it's on a cooldown of like 5 minutes or something absurd.
Oh, yikes.
So, yeah, not exactly what I thought would happen.
Yeah, and you wanted buddies.
Yeah, and because it presented me with something other than what I expected, I didn't like it. But if I take it as it is and go back and look at my Witch Doctor and build him differently, I might come back around to enjoying it more. Oh, you can just do that, by the way. You can build differently.
Oh, yeah. You can change your skills at more or less any time.
Yeah, so you have, as soon as you unlock them all, that is, you have a left click and a right click, and 4 other buttons, and each of these can have 1 skill on it, so you have 6 there. And you also get up to 3 passive abilities, which just do something
just
all
on?
The time. They just change you, or what
make
you do.
You more different.
Yeah. And that's it. And you can swap these out in the menu.
Nope.
Just freely.
There is no cost to doing this.
There is a cooldown when you
do it. Well, actually, there is a slight cost, but that's not important.
Wait, what is the slight cost?
It shuts off Nephilim Valor.
Oh, well, that's only if you're at level 60.
Yeah, basically, while you're progressing through the game and experimenting and figuring out what skills you like, what skills you don't like, what skills work well with other skills. It's basically any time, just while you're not actively in a fight, you can mess around with your loadout. And I think that's great.
We did agree when we were talking about some other game that anything that has specking should have respecking.
Yes.
Like if you, yeah. Basically that.
I think we were probably talking about it in the context of MMOs, because a lot of those are games about specking. Sometimes
perhaps.
To the degree where the wrong spec renders you just a flimsy paper towel man.
Yeah, I have not encountered a game where that mistake was all that dire in a long time. And I don't consider Diablo 2 that, because it was very easy to just make another character. And really, if you just put 20 points into any given skill, it would work for a very, very long time. That's the case with almost every skill. Like, it's not the case with stuff like teleport. That would not help. However, we've gotten rid of the need for all of that, because we have our six, like, action skills and
your slots.
our three passive ability slots. And every one of these six gets, like, a default. So you'll have, like, left click for your primary attack, right click for secondary attack, and then something like tactics, defense, big attack,
summoning,
other big attack. Right.
Mastery.
Right.
Other such flavorful, wacky names.
However, you can go into the menu and enable what's called elective mode, where you can bind any category of skill to any key.
Yes.
So if you wanted, you could run five different primary attacks on five different buttons. Like a different rune on all of them or whatever. And that, well, actually, I don't think you can do... You can't load out the same skill on multiple buttons. But you can do the same category of skill across multiple buttons.
Yeah.
And that's kosher. Because, yeah, if you actually do that, if you try to, like, put the same beam or whatever on both left and right click, the second one that you put it on will take it away from the first, and that one will just be empty.
Yeah. But you still have a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in my, you know, six whatever categories, I have, you know, on average five skills in each of which have five or six runes, which modify, sometimes slightly, sometimes dramatically, how that spell behaves. So there are a lot of different things I can do.
Their runes are a way of changing up a skill or making it completely different and kind of getting out of the box that they had built into their setup. Because between all of the categories, most of them have three, but some of them have four different things that can go in them. So you'll have, okay, let's just say for a simplification, there's three things for each category in these six categories, right?
Yeah.
So we have 18 total skills
yes.
to choose from. Well, putting the runes on in some ways allows them to get up to like 20 or 24 different skills, because for instance, the Toad of Hugeness is quite a bit different from Exploding Toads, even though they are the same skill with different runes.
They were both about toads and involving toads.
Yes. The Toad of Hugeness even applies a cooldown to that ability where none of the other runes have it. So it really does make it pretty much a different skill. Instead of, like, just spouting as many toads as you possibly can, you make one, and it eats something. And it's huge. Because it's the Toad of Hugeness.
This toad is very large, you must understand. It's perhaps the largest toad.
I rather like that they made Witch Doctor a class. That is really neat. You don't often see that. I mean, you'll often see, like, wizard, dude who hits things hard, sneaky, skillful dude. And, then, you know, those are our... That's the three legs of the fantasy game triangle
yeah.
upon which all modern gaming stands. But put, like, Witch Doctor in there. It's like, what? Oh, yes, toads, by the way. Blah! I have this jar. It's full of spiders. Crunch, and then...
Spider jar technique is very powerful. I learned about that in my martial arts class.
It's pretty good. I get tired of the sound of shattering glass after a while, though, so I guess I could... It just never... I never tone it out. I can never do that. It's just...
Well, that's good, because humans should react to the sound of breaking glass in general.
I guess that's the case.
That's a good
survival
skill.
Oh, right, the runes.
The runes
also unlock at different levels,
yeah.
so they can stagger out how many things you get. And every single level, something happens.
Yes.
Some thing unlocks, and usually more than one thing unlocks.
Usually two or three.
Yeah.
It's not always something you might care about.
But
it's
probably something someone cares about. It is something that you can immediately try out.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I wonder how this works, and then try it for a little bit.
2 minutes later, poorly!
Yeah, I mean, usually, you can't... Between what? Out of our 18 actions, and then each one has, what, 6 runes, or is it 5?
Like,
I guess no rune is rune 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so each one has, like, 6 different total variants. So then we're up to, what, 108 skills?
Blah,
spoiled for choice. But usually what they do is the first rune is just a strict upgrade.
Yeah.
Almost always this is the case. So if your attack just primarily does damage, the first rune will make it do more. Or it will do the same damage and have a stun effect. Or it will reduce the cost for the same ability. Or something like that. The first one is usually a very simple and strict upgrade. Not always, but usually. And then from there, they apply other variations. Like the Toad of Hugeness.
Toad of Hugeness.
There's more to the game than toads, but not much more, because the toads are very cool.
The Walking Thunder Man.
Oh, man.
The Electro Spectre.
All
suddenly,
right,
instead of shooting a bolt of lightning, you shoot a man of lightning. You just sort of
just
ambles forward towards your enemies without a care in the world, because he is lightning. Lightning doesn't care. That is not something lightning is concerned with, caring. Lightning is concerned with being made of electricity. And I guess moving. Lightning likes to move.
Yeah, the walking man was pretty awesome. Let's see, that's how skills go in this game.
And it's great. You can pick a bunch. Find ones you like.
It's really, really good that they did specking and respecking. That's part of the streamlining. Another part of the streamlining, and this is a fundamental and pretty big change since Diablo 2, is that there's no such thing as attack rating anymore. In Diablo 2, attack rating was what you and I would call base attack bonus, if we were talking D&D stuff.
It's an accuracy stat.
Yes. And defense was an armor class. So you had, like, attack rating versus armor, and that went into formulas. Secretly, the formula was much, much more weighted or concentrated on the level difference between you and your opponent. And because monster levels are not anywhere published, you can't look at a monster and know his level. You can look at a player and know theirs. Can't do the same for a monster. You would often, run butt up against challenges that seemed like you should be able to handle because of your, you know, high up stats, and it's like, I just can't hit this guy, but my attack rating is through the roof. What the heck? And it really would work, like, you do the animation and swing, and then, you know, it passes through the monster or whatever, and they don't react. It didn't, like, put a little sign up, it just would make a whiff noise, and that was it. Because the whole game was very fast-paced. Diablo 3 is even more fast-paced, and they got rid of that crap, because it's crap. And I want to take it out of Dungeons & Dragons, but I'm working on that. And they've just replaced it. If you hit the monster, you hit it.
Great.
And
good
shot. That's it. And so instead of having armor class as a dodge, basically, it's now a damage reduction thing. So you have, you know, your damage amount, and they have their armor amount, and there's still some level factoring going on, and then it's a subtraction, pretty much.
Then a number flies out of him, and you feel great.
Yes, you can turn all numbers on. So if you just want to watch numbers pop out of things, this game will let you do
that. As soon as I discovered that this was an option, I very quickly activated it and have not looked back, because I love watching numbers fountain out of things under certain scenarios.
I also turned it on, but I found that I could no longer see what was going on past this like wall of numbers. I couldn't even read an individual number because too many were happening. And I'm like, this is too much. Okay, I'll go back to just critical hit numbers, and I like seeing those.
Yes. So knowing that you did a great job.
That's the only time I see numbers anymore is when I or one of my minions gets a critical hit. Which is frequent enough, because again, the game is quite fast-paced.
Numbers. Right, so instead you just have, like, the accuracy as an idea no longer exists in that capacity. There is still, like, dodge chances.
Yeah. Yeah, so it gets back in as that. If enemies can dodge and do, it'll say, like, whoop, dodge, or immune, or block over their head, so you know how they did it, more or less. And same thing for you. Dexterity leads to dodge. There are only 4 attributes. Every character class can make use of all of them. For an attribute to be primary means it applies a multiplier to your damage output in addition to that. So for everybody, strength is armor. For everybody, dexterity is dodge chance. I think critical hit chance too, but I'd have to check, and I don't remember. Whatever. For everybody, intelligence is resistances, and for everybody, vitality is health.
No one has vitality as their primary, though.
Well, yeah. Not yet. I don't think they're going to do that.
No, either. Probably not.
That seems too streamlined, shall we say.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you mean that I can pump this one number and get both health and more damage out? I'm not looking back, by the way. Jam as much vitality as possible.
Mash the purple button. Purple button makes health go up. And then you go fight monsters.
You do fight lots and lots and lots of monsters.
Sometimes these monsters are weird.
Sometimes they're powerful. So there's basically 3 types of monsters. You have regular old monsters. They come in lots of shapes and sizes. Most
skeletons.
Of them have some silly gimmick, or they pop up in weird ways, and you can get a sense of their attack patterns. And in some cases, you can even, like, bait out their, like, big swing attacks and get out of the way and sort of naturally dodge them.
Yeah. Dodge and punish.
And then you also have boss monsters. These come in 2 kinds. There's your act-end, like, huge special boss monster, and they're big, or they have some special sprites, they taunt you, they talk to you telepathically, leading up to some conflict or encounter, and they have, like, special attacks that no other monster has, and if you defeat them, you either end the act or end the quest as part of an act. And the other flavor of those is purple-named monsters, who are very much like the secret second category of monsters that I am intentionally leaving to last, where they are a archetype of the regular kind of monster. You know, this is like, okay, you have a skeleton. Well, this guy is just a larger skeleton. It's a scaled-up exact same model or whatever. But they also have special abilities. The purple kind always has the same set of special abilities, and they have a name and a subtitle. The subtitle doesn't tell you what their special abilities are, it just gives you some, like, flavor about it. So
the Maker.
The huge worm out in the sand in the dunes is a callback to Dune, and his subtitle is The Great Maker. So, callback to Jaelud, and that's awesome. And that their second category of monsters. Hoo boy. Elites and champion monsters are the difficult part of this game.
Yes.
They come in two varieties. Ugh, aren't we up to so many varieties of monster? Any monster type can be an elite or champion. And elites and champions are much of a muchness. The elite is yellow and has a bunch of minions. And the champions are blue and come in packs of three or four. And both elites and champions can have special abilities. So, for instance, if he is Molten, it will say Molten under his name. And when he walks, it'll leave trails of damaging fire in his wake.
Do not touch.
And when you kill him, there will be this tiny little star that, after a few seconds, explodes.
Do not touch.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that explosion either. In the case of elite monsters, their minions will get a subset of the modifiers that they have. So if you come across an elite who is both Molten and Teleporter, he will have some teleporting minions and some Molten minions. Sometimes the minions get all of the mods. I haven't been able to tell exactly
this
how.
This happens it's when they want you dead.
Yeah. Champions get the same kind of treatment, except elites and champions do have some abilities unique to them. For instance, champions can get an ability called Fire Chains. Elites cannot get this. Because fire chains, every few seconds, simply appear in a straight line between all of the champions. So what they'll try to do, and their AI actually is changed to do this, they'll try to like loop around you so that the chains will get you. That's pretty neat. Elites can have one that champions don't get called Invulnerable Minions.
Oh no.
The words Invulnerable Minions is the start of most sentences that end with "and I couldn't deal with it, so I ran."
Basically does what it says on the tin.
An elite who has invulnerable minions can be harmed, but his minions can't. And as soon as you kill him, all of the minions die. But the minions at this time can still harm you, and they still take up space and get in the way. And the elite, maybe he's the kind of monster who just likes running away. So he'll run away and send his football team after you. And
his unkillable Koopa football team.
And then,
then you gotta run.
Pretty much.
Far away.
But if he also has a horde, which is another one that only elites get, he'll have just more than the usual number of minions. And if he's also fast, then you cannot outrun them, or else it's very difficult to outrun them. And they'll probably just kill you.
They just win.
Hmm.
Sometimes the game gets to win.
Yes. That's certainly what it feels like now, anyway. I haven't yet found the correct formula or the magic combination of abilities, at least within Monk and equipment, that lets me deal with every monster that I come across. And the part that I like about the design of the game and how it plays out is that it tends to be certain character classes are good at handling certain monster mod types, and others are just wrecked. So, for instance, if I run up to an enemy that has the Mortar ability, I'm fine, because I'm a monk and I can stand in their rain shadow. Whereas Medibot,
I'm a wizard, I want to stay far. Oh no, what's that coming towards me?
He never wants to see a mortar monster, because they are quite good at hitting him from the distance that he likes being at. On the flip side of that, plagued monsters don't bother Medibot very much, because they deal damage very near to them. You can stay away, and they can just make their plague around them, and okay.
Okay.
Whereas I, as a monk, have no choice but to get close and to stand in their poison.
Poison.
They're poison. And that's just that. So I like that. I like that we all have problems with different monsters.
Yes.
That's really cool.
That seems okay. That everyone has some problems.
I'm pretty sure everybody has problems with invulnerable minions, though. That is not cool.
Like, with that, it... How much of a problem that is depends a lot on what the monster type is and what the other mods are.
Yeah.
Because if it's a slow monster that you can just catch just by running at it, you know, the melee guy is just going to run up and beat his head in. Whereas, you know, with, you know, when I'm playing my wizard, usually if I run into an elite, my plan usually does involve murdering all the minions first, just to, you know, because I have a lot of skills that do damage over an area.
Mm.
And so, you know, rather than just gunning for the strongest guy and then, you know, while his six buddies are all chewing on my shin bones, it's usually best for me to, you know, sort of stay far away, be like, okay, you're the closest, so I'm gonna try and whittle you down first. Okay, now there's only five of you left, and you maybe only dinged me once because I'm running a lot. And so, if it's a monster that, I guess, likes to stick together, or is bad at chasing me down, or just, you know, won't really swarm up on me in a problematic way, or just it has low enough health by default that I can just be like, okay, flip on my temporary invulnerability skill and just mash on your head and hope that you die before my invulnerability spell runs out. And oh, look, it worked! Great job! And then I have one huge idiot to fight, but one huge idiot is really a problem for the wizard. The wizard. What I'm saying is I really like playing a wizard, Kaz. I really like being a wizard.
I'm glad the game offers you that.
I'm very glad that the game offers that and that I chose it. And
what the game does not yet offer that I did want and do still want.
What do you want?
Is what we used to be able to do in Diablo 2 was get proccing weapons.
Weapons that on hit would a certain percent of the time have some additional effect.
Yes.
No, I think they have that.
Then you can maximize the number of hits and then get that effect to happen lots. The only thing we have that procs nowadays is stun or slow.
I've seen stun, slow, freeze, confuse. Maybe just that, though.
I haven't seen freeze or confuse. But at any rate, each of these is pretty much the same thing. And monsters, as soon as you get into the higher difficulty categories, basically get to ignore it. Because all of those durations get cut in half with each new difficulty. So if you're in normal and you apply a 2-second slow, in Nightmare that's 1 second. In Hell it's half a second. In Inferno it's a quarter of a second.
Miserable.
This is sometimes enough to stop the monster from using one of its abilities, and monster abilities have a cooldown just like yours. So if they've begun their ability and you get them with the stun, they're still in their cooldown, but they didn't get to do it. So that's useful, but it's nowhere near the kind of proccing effects we could have in Diablo 2, which was, I don't know, a lightning nova.
Yeah!
Or meteors. You could proc meteors.
I want to proc meteors. I want to proc rocks that come from the moon. Or maybe other places in space.
But it was neat, because you could maximize the number of hits that you made, and then get all this, like, crazy fireworks to happen off of the proccing effect. And that was fun. And so when I made the monk, I was like, ooh, this ability lets me hit a whole bunch. That'll let me proc more. Okay, and then, you know, I go browsing for items, and it's like, wait, is this it? I just have crowd control as my the one thing that I can get to ever proc? Come on. There's got to be... Well, what about... Can I have one that summons toads? The next nearest thing is a Witch Doctor passive ability that will spawn... Like I said, there's one for spawning zombie dogs, and there's another for spawning fetishes. But both of those are really, really rare, and the kind of thing that you're giving up to be able to possibly do that is something that works all the time instead. So it feels like you're giving up quite a lot.
A wizard passives also, there are a few proc-related things. There are things like, you know, on... If I hit you with a lightning spell, you have a chance to be stunned. If I hit you with a critical hit, I have a chance to, you know, decrease all my cooldowns.
Or generate more arcane power.
But a lot of the little passive procs are 100% deals. It's like, you know, if your enemy is slowed or frozen, your cold spells will deal more damage. And this is how much more. Or things like your X's are 10% better. Or their Y's are 10% worse. And a lot of the passives are sort of like that. Not too many things that are like, you know, when you hit, make something explosions. Or at least, I ran into a couple of runes that are like, oh, you know, when you kill a frozen enemy, there's a chance that something interesting happens. But then it's like, okay, so the enemy has to be frozen at the time I deal the killing blow, which is never, because I open up with freeze. And then I start dealing damage to them while they're stuck.
And also, in higher difficulties, the freeze doesn't last as long.
So I have this quarter-second window in which to kill the monster, provided my freeze proc worked, and if it's not a completely reliable freeze effect on my spell, in which case there's a 1-in-4 chance that something happens.
So at this point we can talk about the different difficulties.
Okay, there are 4 difficulties. You start off on normal mode. Normal mode is not too hard. You can take it easy in normal mode.
Pretty much everything that you do will work in normal mode, and you can have a lot of fun.
Next, after you beat normal mode, you start at the first quest with your same character in nightmare mode.
You get to play through the same game again, basically. It's all the same quests, same content. It's just bigger, more powerful monsters, and more valuable stuff.
Yes. Because it knows that your character is at a level where you just finished normal, and it is balanced around this.
Elites get to have an additional ability.
Yes.
So they get one.
Player monsters gain power.
And now they get 2.
After completing Nightmare, you are allowed to play on Hell difficulty. Hell is kind of pretty hard now. Fewer things are allowed in Hell. Rare monsters are nastier. You will die faster. And in more surprising and sometimes irritating ways. Mm-hmm. The loot is better.
Yes. And finally.
Finally, you have the difficulty that I haven't even gotten to yet, called Inferno. And Inferno mode, it's just bullshit, son.
Yeah, again,
this game is fucking
the elites can have another ability.
Everything will kill
your
you in
level
one hit.
Caps at 60, and you've probably hit level 60 before you get to Inferno.
Like I'm in
no
Hell,
longer,
and I'm at like Act 2 out of 4.
Yeah, so
I'm level
you're
57
no
out of 60.
Gaining experience to get more powerful. All of your power has to come from better items at that point. The best items in the game drop in Inferno mode.
And you will need all of them to survive.
That's pretty much it.
Not that many people have actually beaten Inferno mode, by my understanding.
Yeah. I mean, we all basically have the same problem, and that's elite monsters. The bosses are a complete joke compared to elite monsters.
Elite monsters just do too many things. and you might accidentally run into other monsters while you're trying to position yourself, and there's a bunch of them, and they're vomiting out mortar shots and also freezing you, and oh, an arcane sentry, oh, you're frozen, that's too bad. Well, do you want your possessions identified, I guess, repaired in this game? Oh, and repair costs more because your gear gets broken when you get your head inverted. And
yeah, the standard cost for a death for regular characters is 10% of the durability of everything that you're wearing, which you then have to like go and repair. If your items break, then they no longer confer the bonuses that they had.
But you can still go fix it.
Yeah, you can still go fix them. Yeah, and that's a way to destroy value,
yes,
which is very important for the game. I mean, because you're generating value every time that treasure drops from a monster.
Yes.
The game creates money, and it needs a way to destroy money. Right now, the destroying money isn't keeping up with creating it, I don't think.
Not
so.
No one wants to smith things.
I have a feeling they'll make that better, but it was pretty rough at first. Smithing was just not an effective cost alternative to buying things at the auction house. Not even close.
Nope. Go to the auction house. Game about shopping, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I spend most of my time in the auction house looking at things.
Buy, sell.
And thinking, what could I do with that? Which of my characters would like that? What would be the ideal set of bonuses? I wonder what the most expensive version of this is, and so on.
Can it come with more intelligence than that? I wonder. Can I have a higher damage bonus? Can it have a slot? Can it have two slots?
So let's see. There's plenty of other stuff that happens in this game, and I'm sure
there's
we can
a plot
go on and on.
Goofy, kill monsters.
Talking about the plot is secondary and rather atrocious. There are two things that I definitely want to mention as being standout excellent before we give the final rating, and that's one is treasure goblins.
Yay! I love you, treasure goblin.
Every now and then, in place of an elite monster, there will be this little guy who has a huge sack of gold, and he's glowing gold. And his name is either Treasure Goblin or Treasure Pygmy or something like that.
Treasure Devil.
And when he sees you or when you hit him, he'll start running away. And he'll leave a trail of gold behind him as he goes. And if he runs away far enough, he will open a golden portal and teleport to the dimension of greed, escaping you. If you kill him before this time, he will drop twice as much loot as an elite monster.
Fabulous prizes.
So you can hit him and money comes out.
Yes.
This is what I like about games.
Hit a monster and their lunch money just flies out of them.
When
all
I
directions.
Met my first treasure goblin, I moused over him and it just said treasure goblin. I'm like, this is perfect. I loved it. I loved that moment. So that was excellent and I'm glad they included it as a thing. It's a lot of fun.
Whenever I find one, I always sort of like cautiously sneak up to it, get close, and then drop all my spells on it at once and be like, hello! Invariably, this doesn't kill it, and then the chase begins.
Yes, there is usually a chase. Treasure goblins have a lot of health.
Yes.
They have an absurd amount of health.
They know what you have, and they don't want any of it.
They'll often run into elite mobs.
Yes.
Just to, like, get
they
to safety.
They will lead you to your death, and you will know what caused your death, and you will not change. Nothing about your life decisions will change. Like, bad luck.
Yeah, that's pretty excellent. The other excellent thing is all of the dialogue that the scoundrel has. You can get one of three hirelings. The Templar, generic hitting
goober.
Dude. The Scoundrel, the stay in the back and shoot things with the bow dude, and the Enchantress, which is the do nothing and look at herself in the mirror lady.
It's kind of harsh.
It is harsh, but her special items are mirrors and stuff. What else is she doing with them? Also, I could
reflecting
never...
Reflecting lasers off them!
I took the Enchantress out for a spin, and she never attacked anything. I don't know what she was doing.
So back
to the scoundrel I went, and happy I was for it, because all of his dialogue is excellent. He is the best person in this entire world.
Honorable mention to Covetous Shen.
Yes. Covetous Shen is also pretty great, for similar reasons. But,
you could go all over the world and never see any architecture like that. Except that bit. I've seen that there before.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that somewhere.
God bless you, Covetous Shen. Alright, so final thoughts. Diablo 3 is a pretty polished game with a lot of good ideas. It's long. It's about killing monsters and shopping and making your numbers go up. If you enjoy these activities, Diablo 3 might be a good game for you.
And the other great part about it is that it's going to receive the continued support that all Blizzard games do, so it's only going to get better over time. And we're still kind of working out the kinks.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, the games existed for on the order of months. You know? I'd still call it a new game.
I still would, too. And what I would definitely recommend this game to, really, gamers of all levels. You can have fun and experience pretty much the whole game without ever leaving normal difficulty.
It also has cooperative multiplayer. We forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, well.
It's really good.
That's what can keep it interesting. Like, yeah. I can't really play solo anymore. It's just too bland. Need another person there. No, like, friends. Skype with your buddy and then go and attack together. And you'll find that it's even, like, more effective in teams, so we can, like, make up for each other's flaws, and you can also revive your buddy if he dies.
Oh, yes.
He leaves a little marker headstone, and you can click on it and then wait for a progress bar to fill up, and then they get to stand back up. And doing that during the Diablo fight is kind of hairy.
But we did it!
I'm proud I was able to do that.
I'm proud you were able to do that for me.
You gotta watch out for the choke slam. He
hit me off the turnbuckle. That's an illegal maneuver.
Illegal? He's the Lord of Hell. He has all of the prime evils. He is Diablo.
That doesn't mean he gets to make the rules about wrestling in the squared circle.
His name is on the cover of the game.
My name's on the cover of a game.
Which you can download. I think we forgot to mention that, too.
Oh, yeah, you can just buy it off the website and just download it. I mean, you still pay for the game, but the game still costs money. So,
but you don't have to go to a store, and they're not going to run out.
This is the future. You can just download the game.
Yep. And these are topics
that we'll revisit. Oh, and a real money auction house never use it.
Yeah, it's scary. These are all topics that we'll revisit when we're talking more generally about games. But for now, enjoy Diablo 3 if you like games like that. And it's sad, but there's no longer any more socketable skulls.
Skulls.